Testing. All right, looks like we're on. We're a window to the world here through the amazing ministry of Facebook. Thank you, Kim. Welcome, and good morning, Mayflower.
Good morning.
Ah, it's good to see you. I went to Manitoulin Island this week. Did you check on your maps where that was? No? Oh, man, I'm so disappointed, Deanne. I had so many people ask me, where is Manitoulin Island? Look it up on your map. We were there. Oh, Ina knows. Ina knows a lot. We watch out for her, Sarah Lou says. Sounds like you have a little history there, Sarah Lou. Well, we had a wonderful time, and we could look out and see Cockburn Island, and then just beyond that was Drummond Island. But to get to Drummond Island, we would have had to drive 290 miles. So go figure. All right. Don't think we have any special flowers this morning, but flowers of any kind are always special. Just ask my mother-in-law, right, Deanne? Deanne knows a lot about flowers, as does her sister. We're with all week because they learn from their mother. And thank you for our Facebook followers for following us and listening to us, whether it's live or recorded. We have lots of music this summer. Last week, a rousing duet. And this week, a rousing duet. But it's not the same duet, okay? And you'll have, if you came for no other reason than music, you will have reason to come every week, including today. And I'm looking forward to it, as I always do. Blanche's service. If you didn't know Blanche, it still might be a good idea, if you can, to be here at 4:30 a week from tomorrow, when we as a church will honor and remember someone that's been around this church, I think, for at least 60 years. That's a long time. And if you go out in the lobby, look at a historic picture of the choir in 1960 singing right here at Mayflower, I think Blanche is in that picture, and her family will be here. We're coming to support her as a church family, as it has always been with Blanche, so that'll be very special. And former pastor Dave Banfield, who was her pastor when she was very active in the church and was able to work as she did so much, will be here joining me together, and what a glorious time it will be, not because of grief, and there's always grief, but because of a life well lived. And then finally, the little word on the scripture today. Today is Pentecost. That's why it's red. You see the pyramids up here are red. That means fire. Oh, look at Kim. He's got the red shirt on there. And I see Sarah Lou has a red sweater on. And, you know, maybe next year we'll all wear red. I don't know. But that's it signifies fire and the Spirit. And that's why we have red today. And then the Tower of Babel. I want you to listen to that story. And if you want to ask the question, what's up with that, like I did when I read it, go ahead, think about it. The Tower of Babel has some interesting thoughts about that. And then Pentecost, when everyone miraculously heard the gospel in their own language. And then finally, and this is connected to the whole idea, especially at the Tower of Babel, the disciples said, Jesus, show us the Father. And then Jesus responded with a very frustrating answer. It's like he was frustrated with his disciples. We'll have to wonder why. Those are the thoughts for the scripture today. Not a lot of announcements during the summertime, except we're having church next week. And I hope you'll be here if you can. I know that summer schedule takes us all in different directions. I want to say to Mary, it's good to have you back in our worship service today. It's good to have Terry and Gwen, who've made it back from over there to the west, and back here with us today, and all of you. It's very special for a pastor just to look out and say, thanks for being here. Let us now worship.
Thank you. Amen. That should be all of our call to worship this morning. All right. If you all will join me in the call to worship, I certainly would appreciate it. Welcome to the worship on this day of Pentecost, completing the 96-day journey since Ash Wednesday. We've walked with Jesus on his path of destiny to Jerusalem.
We sang praises and shouted Hosanna, and then later we ate together with Jesus.
We, like most everyone, turned away when he was arrested. Things turned very dangerous.
They took his life, and all hope was vanished until Easter, when everything changed.
Then he promised his Spirit to come upon the people. We waited, then it happened. Today we celebrate that fulfilled promise. Hallelujah. And if you'll join me in the opening prayer. God's gracious God and loving Lord, we long for your promised Holy Spirit. There are so many things we would like to change, but we often forget the one thing that changed everything, the ability to receive the good news in words and language everyone could understand. As we open our hearts once again in worship today, Help us to learn the language of God, which is the ability to communicate God's love to everyone. That is the language of the Spirit. That is the language of God. May it always be our language and the language of your Spirit-filled church, including Mayflower. This we pray in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. On page 7 in the Old Testament of the Pew Bible, you will find today's first reading in Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as they migrated from the east, they came upon a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, otherwise we shall be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which mortals had built. And the Lord said, "Look, they are one people, and they have all one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. Nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language there, so that they will not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore, it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. Those who have ears to hear, let them hear. Now on page 90 in the New Testament of the Pew Bible, you'll find today's second reading in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them the ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this, the sound of the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one of them heard speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who were speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Those who have ears to hear, let them hear.
Without being too cynical, I will tell you that sometimes I have tuned in to a television program where there is a preacher who's preaching before a big crowd known as a faith healer. And one of the things I've always noticed is that the offering is always taken before the healing comes, as if it would be a promise or a guarantee. Interesting. You can draw your own conclusions about that, but what I want to share just briefly about giving is this. There is a reciprocal aspect to giving, and Jesus reminded all of us of this, not as a guarantee or a promise, but a principle and an axiom, and here it is. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap, for the measure you give will be the measure you get back. Let us rejoice in the ability to give not only of resources, but of our time and our talents, and as we gather for worship today, ourselves. We'll ask the ushers to come forward. Thank you. Wow. It's the doxology. If you can, would you stand and sing it together? Please be seated. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to look ahead to see the coming of the glory of the Lord, especially when your peaceable kingdom is established on earth, when peaceable, loving followers of Christ gather together like we have this morning to provide safety, the safety of a sanctuary, not just in this building, but in the atmosphere of love and care and acceptance and belonging. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of belonging to your family. And here this morning, your precious family called Mayflower. Thank you that the doors are open, the lights are on, the air conditioning is blowing, reminding us all of your love and care for us, even as we pray for the ills of this world and the things that are not peaceful, and the wars that are being fought, and threats of war that bring fear to our hearts. Take that fear away and let us work for the peaceable kingdom of God, not just in the future, but for now. Lord, help us to be faithful in the remembering of those who grieve, those who are in sorrow, those who rejoice, those who have physical need, those who have challenges and difficulties in life, whether it's economic, emotional, or spiritual. We bring ourselves in need to you this morning, as we remember others, the names of whom we mentioned just now.
Thelma, Mary,
Lord, you've heard those prayers. You've heard the names of the people, and we've heard some of them too. Help us to be faithful in our praying and caring for those within our care, within our community, within our sphere of influence. Now, Lord, help us to pray, even as you have taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
A pent up angels coming after me. angels coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home.
Swing low, sweet chariot,
chariot's coming for to carry me home. Carry me home.
To all my friends, I'm coming there too. Coming for to carry me home.
Swing low,
swing low,
sweet chariot.
Coming for to carry me,
to carry me home. Yes, coming, it's coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. To carry me home.
Coming for to carry me home.
Thank you for that special music today, Jerry and April. On page 83 in the New Testament of the Pew Bible, you'll find today's gospel reading from the book of John, chapter 14, verses 8 through 17, and verses 25 through 27. Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. Thanks be to God.
Thanks to all many of you who serve so faithfully in this church by sharing your musical gifts. Have many lay liturgists. Thank you, Shirley. Thank you, Ross. Last week you did a great job, as each of you do, sharing in worship. And the fact that you're here this morning is just an inspiration to me. I want you to know that. Let's pray. Lord, what a humbling thing it is to stand in this pulpit every week and to share the good word with those who would call me pastor. Help me to be faithful to that calling. Amen. Pentecost Sunday, it's red. 2 years ago on this Sunday, if you go by Sundays, I stood in this pulpit for the very first time, and I was wearing red because it was Pentecost Sunday. How many of you think you might remember that? Okay, I knew the first hand that would go up was Lorraine. Would you believe me if I told you I was scared to death? I see some wagging of heads. But that was my candidating Sunday here, Pentecost Sunday, 2 years ago. And it wasn't very long until I got a text when I was down in Mexico serving at the mission down there, driving the bus to a church where I was going to speak in English, and the Mexican pastor was going to translate in Spanish, when I got a text from Lorraine after a congregational vote had taken place here, and said, "Si, senor, you are our new pastor." And I was speechless. I haven't been that way since, have I? Well, the question that's asked is a rhetorical question, of course. What language do you speak? Come on, pastor, you know we all speak English, right? But in this church, English is not the first language for all of us. Look around. Can you see anybody here today that might speak or communicate in another language? There's at least one person here today who communicates in another language. It's called Braille. Susan, we are always honored by your presence here with us. Did you know that English is not the official language of the United States? If not, what is? Anybody know? We do not have an official language. Oh, by the way, there's one more person who speaks another language in the mother tongue, who has not been with us for the last few months because she's been away. And you know who that is? It's Zidom. Well, we don't have an official language, but did you know, and I was kind of happy to see this statistic, that the United States is one of the most linguistically diverse countries in the entire world? There are at least 500 recognizable languages spoken by groups of people in the United States. One of them is sign language. 500,000 people communicate in sign language, as well as many others in Braille. And of course, English is the first and most recognizable language among Americans, but Spanish would be number two. Chinese, meaning Mandarin, would be number three. Tagalog is number four. Anybody ever heard of Tagalog before? It is rooted in the Philippine Islands. And the fifth most spoken language in the United States is Vietnamese. That number has come up quite a bit since the early 1970s. There have been many attempts to make English the official language of our country, beginning all the way back to John Adams in 1780. More recently, there have been attempts to make Spanish a second official language, but as you may know, the intense debate about immigration, there has been fierce opposition. 32 states have English as the official language as part of what is known as the English-only movement. And that includes two states which have additional language as their official language. Hawaii is English and Hawaiian. And you might be curious about this. Alaska has 21 official languages. One of them is English, and the other 20 are indigenous languages of many Native Americans, including the Aleuts. In the entire world, there are 6,500 spoken languages, but about 4,500 of them are spoken by groups of less than 1,000 people. You might know, because of the population of China, that Chinese or Mandarin, which is the main Chinese language, the other one is Cantonese, but Mandarin is by far the most popular native language in the world, followed by Spanish, English, Hindi, and Arabic, all ahead of French, which isn't even in the top 10. If you consider the most spoken language, including a language which is not the mother tongue, English has about the same number of speakers, maybe slightly more, as Chinese, because there are so many people around the world that study English as a second language. And I'm impressed by people that learn foreign language. One of the candidates running for nomination for president of the Democratic Party speaks 7 languages. And I've heard him speak in more than one language. It gives him quite an edge when he's speaking to people of a different tongue. One of my favorite theology professors, Dr. Yoshikazu Takiya, spoke fluent English, Japanese, Portuguese, Spanish, German, and he read very fluently Hebrew and Greek. And during my years as a tour guide, I was amazed at how many foreign visitors to the United States had a working knowledge of the English language. You might not have known that Deanne worked in the office of the tour company for a summer, and she was amazed at how foreign people would call and communicate the best they could in the English language. We as Americans are kind of arrogant about our language and think that everyone should speak English. Please don't answer this question except in your minds. What do you think? I might be frightened to hear some of the answers. Maybe I don't want to know. But I'm kind of ashamed of myself that I've never learned Spanish. I've been to the mission in Juarez, Mexico 9 times and have not taken the time to learn the native language there. We just completed a trip this week to Canada. And in Canada, you know, has 2 official languages, French and English. And I want to tell you, when you go to a country where there are 2 languages and you could see it on the stop signs, you could see it on food labels, that is a wonderful way to learn another language. Now I know what strawberries and raspberries are called. Deanne, did you pick up on it? Anybody know what? I think it's strawberries are frambois, and raspberries. Well, anyway, those are. See, I told you I was kind of ashamed of myself. It may seem frustrating, just like it is when you call a customer service person who speaks English as a second language, and it becomes very difficult to understand. As much as my sanctimonious statements here about language, I want to tell you that I've had that frustration of calling and wondering why the person couldn't speak plain English. I think I see a lot of nodding heads on that one. But one of the most amazing experiences I ever had was when I was in Montreal, Quebec, Canada, a few years ago. And I took a tour on a bus. I was a tour guide, and I was in the off-season. I wanted to get on a bus and learn about the city.
but I was very interested to observe the method and skill used by another tour guide. It was a dual language tour given in both French and English. It was masterfully done, and I discovered that it would have been a fabulous way for me to learn French. I think if I could have gone on his tour three times, I would have known most of what he said in French. I was so impressed with that tour that I dug down deep and handed him a whopper of a tip. What language or languages do you speak? What languages do I speak? Two of our three lectionary passages have to do with language. One of them is the story of the Tower of Babel. It's where we get the English word Babel, B-A-B-B-L-E. In this case, it's B-A-B-E-L. And it presents immediate problems when you read this story, especially if you try to harmonize it with surrounding scripture and make it chronological. Because, and perhaps you didn't know this, that in chapter 10, we are told clearly, this is the chapter before, we are told clearly and precisely what happened to the descendants of Noah when they scattered across the earth. There are three verses in chapter 10 that mention these descendants as scattering across the world and speaking different languages. So there's a problem when you come across this story, as if it was the first time or there's a chronological problem. We could go on about that. I've done a little study on that. That probably would be left alone, but the linguistic division of people obviously had already occurred, and it is presented in a positive light that the scattering across the world was part of the fulfillment of God's command to replenish the earth. Well, the geographical place of Babel had already been named also, previous to chapter 11. In this particular narrative, we had just read about the positive aspect of languages around the world, and then we come here, and this is presented in a very negative idea that different languages are in a negative light, often used by people who think that English is the language that should be used universally around the world. I will tell you, as a pilot, English is the common language. And I kind of feel sorry for foreign pilots that have to learn English in addition to everything else they have to learn. And one thing, when you speak the number 9 on the radio as a pilot or a ship captain, you can never use that word. You know why? Because 9 means no in German. And it's always niner, for what it's worth. So with these problems, what do we make of this story? How does it fit into our understanding of God? And what does it have to do with Pentecost? God seems to be upset with people trying to get closer to God, building a tower. What's up with that? There is a clue given in the conversation Jesus had with his disciples in the gospel message, and it is the same dilemma that all of us have when we try to seek and know and understand, and perhaps most importantly, see God. This is part of what is known as Jesus' farewell address that I've spoken of before, and it contains many of the best-known passages in all of Scripture. Jesus tells his followers during this particular farewell passage in the Gospel of John, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He says, "I am the vine and you are the branches." We sang about that this morning. "Love one another as I have loved you, and I have conquered the world." And finally, "so that they may be one as we are one," he prays. Also included are statements about himself and who Jesus identifies as the Father. And hereby lies the connection to the passage in Genesis. The narrative there is a concerted effort, a combined effort to see God. So they foolishly began building a tower. In reality, God had already revealed God's self in nature and in developing identity of family and their descendants, very clearly given in the first 10 chapters of Genesis. And in the gospel narrative, Philip says to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied." And Jesus might have said, "Yeah, right. Would you really be satisfied? Jesus responds to the question that obviously frustrated him. Have I been with you all this time and you still do not know me? What language do you speak? Jesus spoke the language of disclosure. The frustration Jesus had with his disciples was that he had taken great pains in fully and completely disclosing himself and becoming totally vulnerable with his friends. And yet they did not get it. To put this in very practical terms, we may be the only Bible that others may ever read. And when we vulnerably disclose ourselves to one another, we reflect the beauty and the image of God. We were made in God's image. And I so appreciate the ability, and this comes with a modicum of humor, but with seriousness, deadly seriousness attached to this. I appreciate the ability you have given me to disclose myself as pastor, my personality, my experiences, my strengths, as well as my weaknesses and great failings. You have done the same thing for me in disclosing of yourselves to me and to one another as we all reflect the image of God, not only to each other, but to the world. What language do you speak? Jesus always spoke the language of inclusion. Some of the most tender and compassionate moments in Jesus' life that we read about in Scripture were with Samaritans, Canaanites, all kinds of foreigners, beggars, lepers, minorities, women, and half-breeds. And I am thankful for the influence, and here it comes, Gwen, of my mother. My mother influenced me greatly. At this point, she always demonstrated to me and to all those that have known her the language, even body language, of inclusion. It is the trait for me that more clearly identifies her as a follower of Christ than anything else. Most of us are, in some sense, repelled or drawn back by people who look, think, talk, and act differently from us. For Mom, she was always, and I'll emphasize that word, always attracted to, not repelled by, people who were different. And she will always be a role model for me in that regard. She was consistent, whether it was the mentally challenged, people of a different skin color, or people with a language handicap, or a physical handicap. What language do you speak? The language of God is the language of diversity. If you read between the lines, and you'll kind of have to take my word for this, in the story of the Tower of Babel and the surrounding scripture, you may come to the conclusion that it is not a punishment of confused language that God instituted, but a celebration and an alternative narrative to everyone speaking alike, looking alike, and acting alike. The creative activity of God is most beautifully reflective of the image of God by the diversity of language and dialect, skin color, distinctive culture, and uniqueness of personality. And by the way, all human beings are 99% genetically identical. You can focus on the 1% and bemoan the differences of language, culture, skin color, and perspective. Or we can celebrate the creative work of God and the uniqueness we find in each other in spite of how incredibly alike and genetically similar we are. What language do you speak? Jesus spoke the language of understanding. In all his dealings and conversations with people of different and sometimes suspect character or national origin, Jesus spoke the language of understanding and dignity rather than judgment. including people who cheated others out of tax money, and to those who were caught in the very act of adultery, punishable by death, or to those whose value systems were drastically different, to those he believed differently, or to those whose source of income was the sale of their own bodies. It is so much easier to judge than to understand, is it not? What language do we speak? Jesus spoke the language of the Spirit. He told his disciples that in his absence he would send an advocate. In Greek it's called the paraclete, and it occurs only here in John. He uses this uniquely. The advocate who, in the absence of the very presence of Jesus, the physical presence of Jesus, would comfort, guide, and instruct in the ways of God. This is the personal promise he has given to all of us who are followers of Christ. But on this Pentecost Sunday, we celebrate the coming of the Spirit to the church in general, whereby everyone could hear and understand good news in their own language, which is the foundation and cornerstone of the very existence of the church. It came in a very mysterious way we have difficulty of understanding, tongues of fire. But one understanding is clear. The coming of the Spirit to the church did not mean we all speak one language. Indeed, we have many dialects of language right here in our own congregation, the way we speak, the way we phrase, the way we laugh, the way we converse. But we all understand in our own language. What language do you speak? And I'm going to take just a point of privilege here at the close of my sermon. We've had some exhibits lately for months in our congregation of people who do not look like us, people who do not think like us, people who are not of the same age, people who might believe differently. But I want to commend and yet encourage our congregation to keep up the good work. We gave that lovely, lovely shower generously to our wonderful young couple that came looking for a place to get married. And they have not been here since, and maybe they won't be. But our love, our care, and our generosity will go for eternity. We've had another couple. Most of you know who they are. In fact, they were here earlier this morning and then left. Who we reached out to as a congregation in love, and we may never see them again. But our love, which, by the way, is not a dogma, will go for time and eternity, and I'll guarantee you that God will give us more opportunity to do the same. So in closing, Jesus spoke the language of love, and we are always given our opportunity to test our commitment to love as Jesus loved. It is easy to love those, and I'm speaking of myself, easy to love and be friendly to those who look, act, think, and believe like me. Let us not become convinced that we will always pass that test when we are confronted by those who don't. With God's help, we can continue to learn how to love wastefully and indiscriminately, which is what cost Jesus his very life. What language do you speak? Amen. This is a fun one. It's an old gospel tune. Sing it and stand if you can.
Leaning on the everlasting arms.
And how about that? It's better now. Okay, especially for our Facebook followers. Make every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all in all. Amen. Now, I will give you the word of peace in just a moment, but I have one other little favor to ask of you today, and it's in response to this sermon. Now, if you took piano lessons and you learned a song, and then you went back and you played that song, and the next week the piano teacher said, okay, I want to play that song again. I want you to practice it over and over and over again. And 5 years later, you went to that piano teacher and said, what have I been paying you for? I've been playing this one song over and over again. So here's, if you get the point, here's my admonition just for today. I want us to go back and enjoy a time of fellowship, and I don't want you necessarily to avoid anybody that you know very well, but I want you to look around and sit with somebody at the table that you have not sat with for at least 2 months. All right? Now, that might be difficult, but I'm just going to give you that challenge. If you happen to be sitting by a close friend or need to for some reason, you're not going to hear it from me, okay? We have a lot of grace and understanding here, but hopefully we can do that, to sit down with someone that you might not know as well. Martha.
I wonder how many people have noticed the doves today.
Ah, the doves. There you go. How about the dove of the Lord, which is representative of the Spirit descending from heaven? And folks, I come to church every week, and I look forward to that Spirit that descends because of you. God bless you. Let's go eat. April. Thank you. No.